Hello.
Morning. How
Good
are you?
morning. Pretty good. Good.
Good, 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 good. How's the weather where you are? It's finally, the sun finally came out here.
It's beautiful.
Oh, good. Yeah, we finally got
Hey. Yep.
a nice day here. Good. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Tony. Chris is here. Yay. Hi, Jill. Hi, Jan. Nice to see everybody popping on.
Where's that button? Here we are. Can you hear me, Lynn? Can you guys hear me? Okay, I'll
Yeah.
mute myself now. My audio was acting up earlier.
Such beautiful flowers behind you, Jan.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I bring them in the wintertime. So
Nice.
fun times. And such good videos this week. My goodness, everybody did such great work.
Yeah, everybody's getting better and better and better at this stuff. It's really cool. Chris, you made it on. Yay. I think anyway, we can't see you yet. How's the weather where you guys are? Lynn, is it really cold where you are already?
Today it's warming up a little bit. It's extremely foggy. I had to drive 30 miles away. I'm at the library. Chloe has to work, so I had to time it so I could be here and then still get her to work. But I'm glad I left early because it was just, that thick as pea soup.
Wow. Do they have little individual rooms at the library for you to be on? Oh, that's so cool. That is really great.
I often take advantage. In fact, I walk in and they go, "You want your same room?"
Oh, that's great. Do you have to reserve them in advance? Or, nice. So your second living room or
Yeah.
your office.
Driver's license next week, so if we do driving, it's because we want some other daughter time.
Nice, very nice. You know, I saw your name pop up first, Jill, as Barb Woodward, and I went, "Oh wait, we have a new student. Who is that?"
Why that happened, because that is my daughter-in-law's name.
Oh,
Why would that happen?
I don't know.
Oh, that's
Sometimes
weird.
we do things in settings that just like we don't even know we do. I tell you.
Huh. That makes
Technology.
me
Yeah. So I hope we have everybody here today. I know I got Dorothy's note that she's not feeling well, unfortunately, so we won't have her. But I think we'll have everybody else, hopefully. Okay. Hi, Deborah. Hey, Tony. Okay, there's Kimberly and Lynn. Yay. All right, so Jan, who are we missing?
Okay, I am missing Steph. Do we have Steph?
She should be coming today, hopefully.
I'm not seeing Steph. Rosie, Bondi.
Rosie is not, she texted me. She's not going to make it
She's not
today.
going to make it today. All right, how about Janet Books?
She should be here, as far as I mean, everybody else should be here, I believe, except for
Michelle?
Dorothy and Rosie.
Is Michelle here?
I can't see the whole screen.
No, not yet.
Okay. So we're missing Janet Books, Michelle, Valerie. Is Valerie here?
Not yet.
You're missing Valerie. Also then Michelle.
Here's Michelle.
Okay, Michelle's here. Okay, good.
Mary Lynn is here. Hi, Mary Lynn.
Mary's here, yes. And Kimberly's here, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we're just missing, and I don't guess Rita Marie is going to make it probably today.
I wouldn't imagine. Maybe we'll get to see her after Shine.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Good. How many of you are coming to Shine? You know, who's going to be there? Yay! I'm so excited to see all of you. Great. So it's 11:01, so I want to get us started. So I'd love to just start by having us ground for a minute. So just tapping your feet on the floor, tapping your legs, chest, taking a couple deep breaths, breathing, tapping, doing some tapping, looking at your body, landing, just landing. And giving yourself a moment to do that. And then just take a minute to just close your eyes and feel yourself and let go of wherever you've been. I'm going to answer this because I'm not sure if this is one of our people. Hello? Hello? Oh, jeez. No. Okay. Sorry. All right, so take a couple deep breaths and close your eyes and just let yourself land in your body. Just land in your body. And feel yourself being here right now, letting go of where you've been. Just taking this 1 minute, we're going to just do a 1 minute transitional meditation. To let go of everywhere you've been and to just be here with the group now. And tune into yourself and to your body, what you're feeling, what's present with you right now. Notice what your breath is like right now. What's your mood, your attitude, your bodily sensations, emotions? And when you feel ready, go ahead and open your eyes. And just start by looking at everybody who's here. And if we can get you guys who are a little dark, if you can maybe get a little bit more light on yourself so it's easier for us to see you, that would be helpful. So just take in, look around the room and just notice everybody who's here. So we're re-entering our group consciousness, right? Our energy bubble, our virtual classroom. And see each person who's here and just how yummy it is to see everybody's faces. Feel the loving support that's coming back at you. And the joy of seeing each other, let yourself take that in too. Okay. Lynn, is there a way to get a little bit more light on you? I don't know if there is or not, but if there is of where you are, but it would be helpful. You're a little shadowy, and also you too, Mary Lynn. I don't know if you can do anything to bring us a little bit more into presence with you. So welcome back, everyone. I'm really happy to see you all, and I'm excited to have time to review the cases today of Jill and Deborah and Tony. So we're going to have, thank you, Lynn, that was really helpful. So we're going to have some great conversations today about all of that. And let's just do a very brief check-in, if we could. How are you all doing? How's this work going for you? Any comments about that or about the reading or where you are? So let's just do about a 30-second check-in. And Louisa, would you like to get us started?
Okay. Well, I think it's going a whole lot better than I thought. When I first saw the assignments, I thought, man, this is an impossible thing. And it's all falling into place. So I'm really excited.
Excellent. So delighted to hear that. Thanks, Louisa. Lynn, DeBure.
Yeah, things, I feel like I'm coming out the other side. Well,
good. All right, thank you, Jill Barb.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why that's coming up that way. I saw it. It's my daughter-in-law's name. Anyway, I'm doing well. Today's a great day. I'm excited that I was able to do the recording and I, for some reason, never got it to work on my phone, which I originally wanted, but it worked out on my desktop and as you saw. So
great.
Happy to have done that. And I appreciate everybody's feedback and your feedback that you gave me too. So thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I'm so glad you were able to set up the mirrors so that we could see both of you. That was really excellent. So thanks for that, Jill. Lynn Rose.
Hi, I'm a little bit stressed this morning because I've got like three different other things going on right now, and then things fell through that were supposed to happen, and so I'm just kind of spinning right now. But otherwise, I'm doing fine. I'm a little frustrated in how I'm progressing with it, but I have to kind of make it my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, for those of you who have had a practice for a long time, which you have, it can be a little more throwing us off. Like, how do I integrate this? How do I do what I do and then draw upon this? You know, so yeah, give yourself some time and patience with that. And if you want to check in with me individually about it, you know, again, at some point, feel free to reach out. We can chat some more or maybe try another session if you'd like and send it to me. And I'd be happy to work with you a little bit more on that, Lynn Rose. So, but hang in there. It'll make sense more and more as you go. Deborah.
Hi, everyone. Everything is going well. I'm actually in Boise, Idaho right now. I actually had to, chew out the rest of the people in the house so that I can do this for 2 hours. And so that I can like center myself. So it's hard to do that when you're visiting family and try to do that. But other than that, I really have enjoyed this transpersonal energy because it's a really great way to add more to all of my toolbox because I've already had transformational coaching and health and all that stuff. But this has really brought it around because especially about making sure that I get that white space and being comfortable in that space with the client and getting deeper. And I'll probably describe more of that during the session today with my client. It really worked a lot.
Great.
So, yeah.
That's great. Thank you for that. Good, good, good. Yeah, it's a little different piece than what most coaching training offers and even psychotherapy, honestly. So thank you for that. Tony.
Hey, everyone. I'm feeling open and happy. I don't like cold weather. It's just not my nature. And today I walked in the rain in the forest and I found something beautiful to love about this weather. There's always a shadow side and a gift side. So I decided to focus on the gift side of the weather and I saw colors in 3D and I'm happy. Yeah.
That's great. Thanks, Tony. Good. I'm going to turn on another light here too because I'm alone. See if that helped any. Yeah, that's better. Okay. Okay, Jan.
Well, this is also a bright spot in my week. I'm happy to be here. It's been a really stressful week. And so I've loved just being able to watch the videos. You guys have done an amazing job and so fun. Love learning. And I'm just grateful to be here. So this is a nice way to end the week on a great note and start the next week less stressed.
Good. Thanks, Jan. Yeah, you know, when we enter this classroom, you know, you've all committed to being here for 2 hours. So one of the opportunities is to like really set all of our responsibilities and stressors and everything else on the shelf as much as possible and just surrender to being here and let yourself relax and especially take in the nurturance of the group to help feel supported while we're here together. It's such a rare opportunity, really, to have such a supportive group of people to be with together. Yay, Valerie, you made it. Can you get yourself on camera for us so we can see you? And Mary Lynn, do you want to go ahead and check in?
Yes. Hi. I'm feeling pretty good. I've just had a lot of changes. I'm still traveling. I'm staying at my cousin's house right now. They've left, but they may be back before the 2 hours are up. And so I don't know. I may have to go find another room. I'm also having big computer problems. I think my computer that I have with me is on its way out. And I'm using my phone. And so that's different. So I can't see you all. I don't know how to do that. But I'm really ready. I'm tired. I'm really ready to get home. I'm leaving tomorrow for Texas by my car for Shine. And so I'll see you shortly. And so.
Okay.
I'm here.
Great. Thank you, Mary Lynn. Okay. From Boise. Michelle.
So yeah, I had a good week. Really enjoyed, identified with some of the reading for this week, made some aha moments. And I want to thank Tony and Jill and Deborah for all doing those videos. They were really well done and each brought out a different quality that was just, you know, something we all learn and reflect on. So I'm just here being present and ready to learn.
Great. Thanks, Michelle. Kimberly.
Well, I, like many of you, have had a very, very stressful couple weeks, and I have just this mountain of stuff that I'm trying to accomplish. But the cool thing is that the time with my clients has been the easiest, most pleasant part of my day for the last couple weeks. It's been easy. I've been really comfortable in the flow with my clients. Using these tools that we've learned has allowed me, I think, to really relax into it and just be present. And it's just been such a blessing to have those client sessions in the middle of all these other tasks that I'm trying to get done that are not fun. So I'm grateful. Yeah. I'm grateful for these tools.
Great, great. Thanks, Kimberly. I'm glad it's getting easier too. That's wonderful. Good, good, good. Okay. Steph, yay, you made it.
Yeah, I did make it. So I'm feeling stressed. I know I'm not supposed to be feeling stressed, but I'm feeling stressed about just being a bit behind here. And I feel that things are plateauing a little bit for me here. So I'm going to be okay. I don't feel overwhelmed with the amount of content. I'm just coming into a place where I can take the time to do things like this. So, yeah.
Great. Well, it's glad to have you with us. Yay.
Yeah, thank All you right. for accepting.
Oh, of course. Okay, Chris.
Hi. I didn't want to come on and just complain, but we have a 100-person retreat here this weekend, and so it feels weird to be thinking about something other than that. But it feels really great to have a break from it. So I'm really appreciative that I can like shut that off for 2 hours and just immerse myself here. But mm-hmm. if somebody does come to my door, I'm just going to take me off of the video. So if that happens, that's what's going on.
Yeah. Thanks for letting us know, Chris. And I'm glad you were able to, you know, make this little window for yourself.
Yeah. Good. Thanks.
Janet.
Hi. The week's been good. The most stressful thing was my computer shut down just as we were coming on, and I had to get the new Zoom link. And I was, if any of you are finding all these wild texts and messages, I'm good. Please, somebody let me back in. But yeah, no, the week's been good, and the client work so interesting. Everyone has such different clients and takes on it, and is so so helpful to see all of the different approaches and of course the different clients. It's just been a wealth of information. I'm really grateful for it. It's working.
Great. Thanks, Janet. Valerie. You're on mute. I know I saw the little message pop up for a moment there that you were having trouble getting on camera, but you're still on mute. So maybe we'll come back.
Working either.
Okay, maybe we'll come back to you. Hopefully later on, Valerie, you'll be able to check in with us. So I'd like to just start with a very brief PowerPoint. So Lynn, do you want to make me a co-host, or I can share, or maybe I can share anyway. I don't know. Let's see if I can do. Yeah, I can do a screen share here. Okay. So let's take a look at a little bit about session two. Empathy and genuineness are the qualities that that we read about in the book for this class today. How to recognize and trust the timing of the healing process is also something else I want to touch on today, is that there is a sense of timing that we're not, that I'm kind of seeing us as a group. First of all, I love that everybody, that you all get to see each other's work, because you get to see how unique and individual and different every single one of you are in your work, and where your strengths are and where your style is and how different each person is. And so so I want you to begin to notice that there are certain characteristics that some people are going to be really, really strong in, that you can begin to notice. And each of our three presenters today, and then in our last session with Janet and Lynn Rose, each of you had a particular strength, right? For Lynn Rose and Janet both, there was a lot of empathy that was present in their ability to be with your client. So genuineness and empathy are two of the core healing principles that are absolutely essential for us to be connected to within ourselves, and then also for our clients to feel that. So she talks about 10 therapeutic traits. And if you remember in the Exceptional Practitioner ebook, module one, I talk about seven or eight spiritual qualities, right? There are very many similarities to those qualities that I talk about from a slightly different angle than what she's talking about here. So she has a definition of toxic relating as when a listener acts out of their own unmet needs and confuses them with those of the person seeking help. And really, in actuality, what she's talking about here is ego, and how we, when we have an unmet need, we go to a sort of an ego place within ourselves, and have a react instead of being able to be present with our client. We react to them instead of be present with them, And it happens because we have an unmet emotional need, and we look for that need to be met through our client. So we might want reassurance from them, or we might want approval from them, or we might want to feel that we make a difference for them, or, you know, so whatever that unmet need is, that I'm of value to them, then that can show up and get in the way of our being able to listen and be present with our client. Okay, so what I love is she talks about we need to, and have a way of being, right? So those are the last two qualities. But we need to support our client, which precedes challenging our client. And I think, Janet, this was one of the things that I think happened for you, was you did a lot of support, but not a whole lot of challenge. And I think that also happened a bit with you, Jill, and you, Deborah. It was a lot of support, but not enough challenge. So once we establish support through these characteristics, empathy, genuineness, they understand, they get that you understand them and that you're supporting them, that you respect them. And sometimes that support or that trust is earned through, which we'll get to in one of the later chapters, what she calls appropriate self-disclosure, where you tell them a little bit about you to help them understand that they know how you feel. But the tricky part of self-disclosure is not to then make the session about you. So those of us who are big talkers, we like to talk a lot, and all of a sudden the session becomes about me and my story and instead of you and your story. So we have to really be very delicate about how much we use self-disclosure, and of course warmth. If we get too intellectual, then they don't feel our warmth so easily. And then that, all of that, once that's established, once they feel this connection, supportive connection to us, then we can begin to challenge them. And we challenge them through immediacy. And what do I mean by immediacy? Like, what's happening for real? And this is why I'm so often asking you or pointing out paradox, right? Like for example, somebody's laughing, but they're saying something that's really painful. They're talking about something really painful, but they're smiling, right? So this is where you challenge them with, you know, that's really interesting that you're talking about this right now and you're laughing and you're telling me about something really painful. That's really painful for you. So we're naming that in real time. What's going on, right? That's the immediacy. And then confrontation, being willing to be truthful, confronting them about something. Let me see if I can think of an example for that would be, I think we'll talk about that in your session, Jill, because I think there's a great example at the end, an opportunity for confrontation with her, like to challenge her, to challenge something that, a belief that she might have about herself. Like she was talking about how, I'm not going to write that letter, right? I'm not going to write that letter. So we might want to, you know, what's really going on for you there? Like you said that with a lot of strength in your voice behind that. Whereas before we might want to challenge or confront that choice. It may or may not be, the most helpful choice for her. And concreteness means being specific, being really willing to name specifics. And I think Deborah will be able to talk about that with your case a little bit, about getting concrete. And that happens through your willingness to, all of you, to specifically reflect back the details of what they're bringing and trust that those specific details really will take them into a deeper place. Then she talks about potency and being, I like to call that kind of a humble aliveness, being potent, having a humbleness, but also where there's an alive presence that you bring to the table with your client, that you, it's a term I like, when you hear me say, get in the soup with them, that you're willing to, that you're not this distant person kind of looking and assessing them from over here, but you're willing to just be in the ring with them. And then self-actualization, which is just in my language, I would use being able to hold the paradox of, like, even Tony just gave an example of, you know, finding the beauty in the cold, even though I don't like cold, like, or finding the opportunity in this painful illness that I have right now, right? It's really painful, and I know there's something perfect about it, but it's really painful and it sucks. So it's like, how do I hold both of those together? So that as we grow in our ability to be self-actualized, we grow in our ability to hold both dual qualities together. And that's a real reflection of spiritual growth. When you can hold paradox, that's a level of self-actualization that happens. So I think her 10 therapeutic traits are really super helpful in us understanding what it is that we are developing within ourselves to be able to be present for our clients. Okay, so genuineness is one of the themes for what we just read about. She says the healing element in operation with empathy is not the accuracy of the counselor's perceptions, but his or her intense involvement with the client. Now, this is not the same as feeling responsible for them or being, here's another paradox, right? Intensely involved and yet detached, right? So you have to have both. You have to be intensely involved and you have to be detached. You have to not care whether they choose to, you know, we have to be intensely caring and non-judgmental if they come and back to you and say, you know what? I binged on chocolate and sugar all week long. Wow, you did, huh? What was that like for you? How'd that work for you? You know, like, what happened as a result, right? So instead of perhaps, oh my God, what did I do that I failed you, that I didn't communicate the importance of this, or judging them, oh, well, that was really, you know, you really blew all the progress you made by doing that, you know. So intense involvement, but also detachment. Okay, create a healing environment. Remember our five steps here. So our state of being, what she calls self-actualized, our ability to be present, to be, I'm just going to go right onto this next slide because this is what the state of being involves. Being centered in your heart, being deeply relaxed. And when I say deeply relaxed, I mean deeply relaxed inside yourself, inside you, like not stressing to be anything other than who and what you are. So being relaxed and centered in yourself, you don't have to perform and yet you do. Right? Here's the paradox again, right? You have to be relaxed in you so that you could just hold that healing presence. And that means self-accepting. So, you know, there are times when you have to go to work and you don't feel so good, you know, and, you know, your energy might be off, or you might be fighting something, or you're in pain in some way. And you have to hold that in some aspect of yourself, or something, you just got yelled at by somebody and you're feeling really insecure. And guess what? You get to hold that and be self-accepting, even though you just had a fight with a family member, and allow yourself to be present with all your imperfections at the same time, and know that it's enough to be able to do that and still be present with your client, that you're enough and that that's enough. And then I'll just say one thing more here about self-actualization, and we'll talk about that more when we read those two chapters later on in the class. But it's identifying and accepting what I was already just talking about, our dualities, and also being present with the energetics. And this is one of the areas that we're still, I think, many of us are still shying away from a bit, you know, still feeling a little bit, this is new territory, kind of unknown. What do I do with this? how do I just hold a space? So this is your job here. You're just holding a space and allowing them to, you're being neutral, open, holding space for your client to self-explore. Gee, what's this like, this collapse? I got this cloud over my head. Okay, well, when I look at the cloud, I actually notice there's a little sun peeking out behind it. Oh, well, what's that like? Well, when I look at the sun, it's like, oh, all of a sudden when I'm focused on the sun, the clouds are starting to go away. They do all that on their own simply by you just reflecting back. They come into their self-actualization by your ability, based on your ability to identify and hold your own dualities. Okay, so, and remember your three magic questions. Always go back to them. And if you're getting stuck somewhere, probably because you're forgetting to do one of these. Or you're doing too much of one and not enough of the others. So there could be an imbalance here as well. What's here now? You know, or you could get the thing of the one-word answers. No, I'm fine. I'm good. Okay. So then what happened for, I think for Deborah, you and I talked about this, is then you felt a pressure, right, to like, okay, now I got to think of another really good question. No, you don't. What's good like? Tell me about good. It can be so supremely simple. So, and then, of course, we want to keep coming back to, you know, noticing the themes that they're talking about. And each of you who are presenting today, I'm going to want to ask you, you know, what's the personality pattern that you think showed up in their theme? Okay, so that's our slide presentation review. So any questions about that before we go into our cases or comments in general on this? Okay. All right, so we ready to dive in? All right, so Jill, why don't we have you get us started? And Jan, do you want to be timekeeper for us? We're going to have about 15 minutes for each presentation. And Jill, why don't you start by just letting us know a little bit about what this was like for you and any thoughts that you want to share before we go into some feedback?
Well, I felt in light of that little review you just did, I felt I was able to get into her story, get into to feel her. I felt empathy and genuineness, I think, in the session. I would catch myself sometimes maybe asking a question I maybe wasn't the right thing to ask or whatever, a leading question versus just allowing her to sense that space a little bit. I think that was me. I think that was me feeling, you know, a slight uncomfortable feeling of what's next. I think, you know, in light of the fact that you said I could have challenged her at the end, I felt she challenged herself at the end, and she did decide she was going to write the letter. What she didn't decide was whether she would send it or not. So I was wanting her to give herself her own assignment, or, you know, basically see what was going to happen at the end. So I was pleased that it seemed like she did unwind to a point of being able to get some inspiration of what, you know, what can I do? You know, she felt so much better. Maybe this didn't come forward. I mean, we did give each other a hug at the end, but we continued to talk even after the recording stopped. So she felt a lot better. She felt as if, usually I'm giving her a best treatment when she comes. So this is someone who's been coming for a while, and I feel a need for the best treatment.
Wow.
And Yeah, and she just felt, you know, that was enough and that was good, and she felt some direction for herself. So overall, I feel like it was a good session, even though I can see that I have things that I can practice with.
Great. That is so great. I just love that. You know, yeah, you did some really lovely work, and she went really deep. And I just love that, you know, you were able to reflect back a lot. And just even what you were just saying, just even having someone hold and listen and pay attention, and that, as Jacqueline Small talked about, that intense involvement of yours provided such a healing for her. So much healing for her. So no matter how right or wrong or you know, effectively we do this process, even if you get a tiny bit of it going, there's so much healing that transpires as a result. So I agree with you completely. That was a really a lot of healing that happened for her. So you and I got to go over, and by the way, for those of you who don't know this, what I'm going to try to do, what I'm planning to do with every one of you is after I get your recording and get to watch it, I'm going to call you. I've had an opportunity to speak privately with each of the people who have done their recording so far and give personal feedback so that we have a little bit more time to go in more depth. And then we'll touch just briefly on some of the teaching points that I wanted to bring out in my feedback for all of you as well. So that's my plan, to be able to do that with all of you. So
I was going to say something too, Laura, is that I knew it was one of the things that I really wanted to be able to do was forget about the fact that it was being recorded. and I felt like I did accomplish that because I knew it was there and I didn't want to be thinking about the group or you or anyone. You know, I wanted to get into it. And so I think I was able to do that. You know, and then what's really great about this class and being able to watch each other do this is, and then you leading us with, you know, the feedback and stuff like that is things that will come to our mind later, you know, in the following sessions that we'll have. So.
Yes, that's what I love too. And especially those of you who are going early on, you'll have a lot more time to practice what you're learning, not just from the feedback that I'm giving you, but seeing each other and hearing each other's feedback as well. You're going to all be able to apply that. Oh yeah, I can do that and I can do and see what you might have missed or what you can do. So that's great. That's great. I'm glad. Thank you for bringing those points out too, Jill. So one of the things that I think we're still commonly lacking is keeping people a little bit more in present time by asking them, what are you feeling now as you talk about this? What are you feeling right now as you talk about it? So even if they're sharing about an event that happened 10 years ago or in their childhood, as you're telling me now, as you're talking to me, Laura, right now, or me, Joe, right now, what are you noticing? What's showing up as you talk about it now? Because there's a charge, especially if you are noticing a charge in their body now, or if there's emotion that's happening now, or even if they're like Lynn Rose, how you experienced with this woman who was so in her head, it's still okay to say, what's happening right now as you talk about it? Well, I don't know. I'm not feeling anything. Okay. Just notice that as you talk about this really rough thing that happened for you, you're not feeling anything. It's kind of like this newspaper reporter neutral. Isn't that interesting? We're not making the judgment about it. We're just even reflecting that. So that's information for them too. Wow, you're just telling me this story about what's that like? Oh, well, I'm not feeling anything. Okay. Let's just make a note of that. We're not making any conclusions based on that. We're just making a check mark next to it for them. Because as we do that, there will be chinks in the armor, even of the most intellectual type of person that you'll be able to do breakthroughs with as they unfold. there were some opportunities, right? Like she said, I'm getting warm right now. And she, and you asked her where, and that was great. And she said, in my cheeks. Well, I love when people get specific like that. So there was another opportunity where you could have gone deeper and said, well, what's it like in your cheeks? What's it like to have warmth in your cheeks? Interestingly enough, oftentimes warmth in our cheeks happens when we blush. What's blushing? Embarrassment. What's embarrassment? Shame. Now, I'm not saying for you to tell all that to them. I'm saying this for you guys as practitioners, right? So we know that when we get a physiological, strong physiological response like that, there's some deep emotion that they're hovering on the brink of. Tell me more about your cheeks. Right. So we just want to, keep reflecting those things back. You caught yourself with leading questions. That's good to trust that what they're giving you, it's enough. If you keep reflecting it back and let them hang out in the, and I think one of the other things too, is that I'm noticing as a group, we're still a little bit afraid of pauses and of silence with our clients. Let them hover. It takes a minute. If you ask them, well, what are you feeling right now? Oh, fine. Okay. You can slow your rhythm down to, okay, you're feeling fine right now. And sometimes I will even slow down the rhythm, which I will repeat words back to give them time to notice what's fine like in your body. Where does that live? I don't know. Okay, close your eyes for a minute. See if you can tune in, notice. Okay. I avoid people, and she laughed. What made you laugh, right? Mm-hmm. So there's another paradox, right? Another, incongruency that we really want to try to name those incongruencies. Jill, you did some beautiful mirroring back. Sad. You look sad, you told her. And to me, it looked like in that moment she really wanted to cry. So we want to just, when people are on the edge of that, we want to just, can you hover there for a moment? Just like let yourself be with that sadness for a moment. And then using pauses. Okay. When she got emotional, I would have liked to have heard your tone get a little softer, Jill. Your questions were, and I know she felt your, I know because we talked about that, you and I also afterwards, that you've had sessions with her. She's got a high trust for you, but I would still like for you to be aware of, can you soften your own tone a little bit to kind of, bring it out of the intellect and a little bit more compassion in your voice? I don't want to deal with it, she said, and she laughed, and there's another great incongruency. At one point when she said she was afraid, and Jill and I talked about this, she was afraid of feeling too much emotion, that she didn't want to go and feel that because it would be too much. She said, I would be overwhelmed. So this is where it would be appropriate to shift into teaching mode and go into, I'm going to help you regulate. If it feels like too much, I'm going to teach you a 3-step emotional regulation technique. And I'm going to help you with that. So if it feels like too much, I'm going to trust your judgment on that. But I also want you to know that we have an option about how to regulate those emotions. So this is where you would shift from repeating into teaching mode, right? To help them with that.
That's nice to know that too, because for some reason I've had in my head that I shouldn't go into teaching mode, that, I should just stay in this reflecting thing. So
yeah,
I'm glad you pointed that point out.
Yeah, good. Yeah, there are definitely times when we want to shift to teaching mode, right? Or coaching mode, or, There are appropriate times. If somebody's in a full-blown trauma, you want to bring them out of that trauma response by doing that 3-step trauma emotional regulator process with them. Or if they're in a dangerous situation, then, you know, you need to, or if it's crisis management, you might need to go into crisis management if you're trained in crisis management. If you're not trained in crisis management, then you need to refer them to crisis management. So there are times when we definitely are not using this. And there also, you guys are health practitioners. So you're going to want to shift to, okay, so here's what you need to do to regulate your insulin level, or to, you know, whatever it is that you might need to do to shift into a counseling mode that is more about your practice with regards to, you know, the right supplement that they need to take or something else. That's all that is absolutely, you're going to use your whole bag of tricks. You're not restricted to just this. So, I think a little bit more acknowledgement around the tears when a lot of those tears happened for her would have been really comforting for her. Wow, there's a lot of tears coming out right now. You know, I really see a lot of sadness or a lot of grief is happening right now. We want to acknowledge when somebody's crying. As is so often the case with genuine emotion, she did a pretty quick flip to laughing. So that's a great reflection too. Wow, you were just crying a moment ago and now there's a laughter coming out. So this is really letting people know that they can hold the paradox of both pain and grief. Wow, all that pain and yet you're able to laugh. How are you doing that? How are you doing that? And that's a great question to bring to people when paradox gets named, because they are going to go in and find their own resiliency. I don't know. Well, take a moment to think about it. Because we have so much harsh self-judgment. I can't do this. But you can, because look, you are. And you're laughing about it at the same time as you're feeling all so afraid you weren't going to be able to tolerate that the grief. Well, look at you. You're laughing about it now. So that's going to really help her know she can manage that. She really can manage that. Okay. So I don't want to hog all the time. I want to give some time to open it up to other people as well. You did some really good questions. How can I let go of things that I can't control and stop making up stories? You did a beautiful moment there of laughing with her. What is that? And then, you know, like you really led her, you mirrored her laughter. You were in the soup with her there in just such a lovely way. And a good summary and bringing back the positives to her in the summary at the end there. And just so I can clarify, it's not that I would push her to give that letter, but it felt like she was backing off a little bit from even writing it, and I would encourage her to, you know, real noise here. Oh, thank you. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. So she did, I felt like she did a little back paddling off of her even wanting to write the letter, and I would just maybe reflect that, huh, you were so strong about it when you first said it, and now you're not sure. That's interesting. Now, you were also pretty much out of time, which could have just continued that processing piece onward. But anyway, so I think let me stop there and open it up now to other people for comments or questions before we go on to the next one.
I was so impressed with you, Jill. You did such a great job. Your professionalism, the way you carried yourself and moved through that first time. Wow. It was really hard for me to put all this together, and you just had such an easy way with it. You showed a lot of skill with how you were working with it. And it was great. I want to work with you.
You got a whole bunch of clients ready to sign up now.
Thank you.
I feel the exact same way. You were so poised and so professional, and your client went deep really fast in spite of being recorded. So you made her feel really safe in that mm-hmm. room with you, and she was able to just go deep. I was just super impressed with that.
Thank you, Tony.
Awesome job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, and Jill, I really, yeah. I mean, when we worked together, when we were at our last thing in person, you know, I saw that right away. And so when I saw you in this video, I mean, it was just, you know, you did the same thing with me as when we worked together there. And it was just a beautiful thing to see you, you know, working, because I saw just the progression that you had from the sessions we had in person to what you did with your client from the teachings here. And so I saw that, you know, so I really, really appreciate it. I actually got in the soup with you. So when you were doing this video, it was just so like, I was right there. So it was really good. I liked that a lot. So
thank you, Deborah.
Yes.
Very good.
Laura, I have a question. Steph have a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Jan.
Just Steph had a quick question that I think would be good to just quickly revisit and clarify that she put in the chat. And she said, is it when some kind of overwhelm is too much or getting in the way of their presence healing that we switch to helping them learn skills and teaching? And yeah, can you clarify kind of when we are going to shift from holding space to actually teaching?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's a great point. And I think, yes, if they are in overwhelm during the session with you, then I would pause with whatever you're doing and check in with them and see what they need. And are you talking about like emotional overwhelm or just too much mental overload, or it could be?
Because again, like I have a fear of switching to, but then I guess, so if something's getting in the way, I guess, so it could be emotional overwhelm, or it could be like a physical danger, like the insulin thing that you were talking about, or if something's getting in the way of our work together, then maybe take a pause and.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Because, and if it's happening in the moment, then they're not going to be able to, they're not going to be able to go past that point anyway. Right. They might say they are to be the good compliant client for you, but they won't be present. Like, they'll be disassociated, right? Yeah. Okay. So it's most effective, yes, if you can just pause with whatever is going on and deal with that with them. And, you know, and even if they say, oh, no, let's, you know, if they're overly emotional, saying, no, it's okay, we can go on, I don't want to waste the time. No, we're staying here. you can take charge of the session.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. Anybody else, any other questions on that or anything with Jill's session? Okay. So, Deborah, you ready to go next?
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Jill. Good work.
Thank you.
Okay, Deb. Tell us how this was for you.
Okay. This was session 4 with my client. We had started even before we had been in person in September. And so I took some of the learnings that I had from our sessions that we had into our session. So it was overwhelming for me because I had to reflect back in her words. And the hardest part was that she would not allow me to actually video her. It's almost like, you know, she didn't want to really be seen. And that was hard. And so the dynamics on a conversation on the phone, the emotional type stuff, I had to release all of those. And at first, it was those one word type things that I had. I started reflecting back what she was saying almost word for word. Then all of a sudden, I got her to get into conversation. But then the story then became more important than what her feelings were. And she went back up in her head. So I had to bring her down. So what I was feeling inside was that I felt like I was a dentist sometimes, where I had to pull and extract and information from her. But overall, I started getting more comfortable during the session with her and with Terry, and about how some of these things were affecting her health. So that's some of the things that went on. The conversation that we had, you and I, Laura, about some of the things, that I had, had done, like right in the beginning, of about how I was saying creative about her food versus saying, the specific things that she had done, and reflecting back to her. So I had some things I reflected back, and some things I was not consistent with. Mm-hmm. So overall, though, I felt like that what I had done in the session was really good. And I was a lot more empathetic and all that. And I could have been more of the, the challenge mode during the session, because she's got an enduring pattern. I noticed it, right away, and I don't like to put people in categories, but she's really, really got the enduring pattern. And it felt like that that's why I felt like I was extracting information from her. So.
Yeah. It's a really good awareness, and it might be helpful if you're pretty sure she's got that pattern to go back and look at some of those pitfalls that it's easy for the practitioner to fall into with that pattern. But first of all, you did a really great job reflecting. I mean, you just did such a beautiful job reflecting back. And I have a question. Has she always been just in audio sessions with you, or was it just because of of doing this as a case that she didn't want to be seen?
No. What happened is that she had been in, I asked her about the video even when, before, we even started sessions. And issue was with her is that, I tried this before and I don't want to do it. I mean, it was like emphatically, she did not want to be on video because she had done this before and it didn't work.
So were you in person with her, or were you on the phone with her?
So she never explained any further why. So
no, I'm sorry. I'm still just trying to understand, though.
I was on the phone with her.
Have all your sessions been on the phone with her?
Yeah, I was on the phone.
All of your past sessions too?
Yes. Yes, okay. Because she lives in Illinois.
Right. But she never wanted to be on video, on Zoom or anything with you, or Skype. Okay.
No.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking that is because it might be one of the ways that you could challenge her. And I'll come back to that in a little bit. But but let's just go through some of this. The point that you brought out that I'll just clarify for everybody, Deborah, was when Deborah said, it was very creative what she did with her food, which is true, and it was actually a nice reflection. But for this process, what I would encourage is to again bring it into a question: how was it to prepare your food in that different way? Right. So we stay away from any kind of judgmental language, even if it's positive judgment. Still, positive judgment's better, but it, it's very interesting what people will come up with for themselves. You mentioned the enduring pattern, and she said, I had to endure the whole cauliflower. So it was an interesting choice of words, right? I had to endure the whole cauliflower. So I think, you're picking up those. It's amazing how we reveal ourselves in the language that we use. Going back to goals, how is it working for you? Yeah, just some leading questions we talked about, Deborah, that tendency to do. leading questions and to encourage you to take more pauses. So good summary. After she spoke just a little bit, you went back and summarized the mind in her stomach talking and coming back to further clarify with the question, did I get that right? I love that you did all of that. And it's interesting. Now, what you're going to find, which you all might be surprised about, even with all that reflecting back that Deborah did, at no point did she say, you know, yeah, I've got it. You got it. I'm bored with hearing you say that. Don't repeat me back anymore. I've never, ever had a client do that because they're fascinated. We are most fascinated with what just came out of our mouths. So I just want to keep reiterating to you to keep trusting that process. And then for Deborah to go, which I already talked to her about, but to remind all of you, to go one step deeper. How was it to hear me summarize what you just said? What was that like to listen to it? To trust the potency that lives behind that, because they really are deeply processing as they hear you repeat back what they said. They are processing it. They are taking it to a deeper level. So this is especially potent for the people who are over-intellectualizers. Because you say it back to them and you slow it down, they have a chance for it to land somewhere deeper in their own body. And what's your breath like just from having heard me say that? So if they're having trouble getting down in their body, those are the questions that'll help them take it to a more feeling place.
Go ahead. And when I got to that part where she was like, you know, describing about that she loved that nurturing and about how she wanted to wrap herself up in the warmth and all that, I repeated that back to her. Yeah. And boy, I'll tell you, I got so much feeling out of her. And she got out of her head, and I just really, I just felt like, wow. And I felt it even through the telephone lines. I mean, it was just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it was. That was so beautiful. And that might be a lovely, lovely, and actually you did use some really nice, appropriate self-disclosure a couple of times, Deborah. You shared with her how it made you feel. I wanted to touch on... how was it to state those goals, to hear me state any goals that jumped out at you? That was a great question when you heard me repeat your goals back. Great question. Any goals that jumped out at you from what I just said? Tell me more about that. Excellent. Right now, as you say it, what did you feel in your body? I loved you reincorporating, going back to this is part of your goals. You talked about this as part of your goals earlier on. So that's also, you know, very potent for people, I think, to go back when a moment comes out that they're sharing about and how it ties into the goals that they want to work on. I wanted to talk about, Deborah, how you brought out this apology that you gave. It was such a beautiful example of repair. And I did not have time to teach this to all of you in this last module 6 that we had. But that was a great example of, you know, let me come find where I have that in my notes. You talked about, you're not checking your email and then, and how you missed this request from her husband to do this work with her. And you just acknowledged it in a really lovely way without making it too over apologetic. And I just think that showed so much, it gained so much trust and mileage with her for your ability to do that and yet do it and manage it in a professional way, manage it in a way that wasn't giving over your role of professionalism or power. So I just really wanted to acknowledge that as a great example of doing what I call repair work with somebody, taking responsibility for whatever your error is, but without compromising your level of professionalism at the same time. This kind of touches into that question you brought up at the last class, Kimberly, is the same thing. Like, okay, you take responsibility for whatever part, your part was, but you don't compromise your position of professionalism in what they've hired you to do. Okay. Let's see what else I have here. Great summarizing. I don't remember that email, but that was it about the, you summarized her experience of that. And then, how are you feeling right now? That was a great question. How are you feeling right now? Especially that question is potent when you see somebody have a dramatic shift in the moment when they're talking to you. So if you see an emotional reaction, what are you feeling right now? What happened just now when you said that? That those are especially the potent timings to bring that question in. Good, tell me more about that spiritual relationship. The other piece of feedback I gave to Deborah Chu was, instead of then at the end, like such a good student, gave her a whole bunch of homework to do. But what I would love to suggest, if at all possible, is ask your client, what do they need to practice between now and the next session? Rather than assigning them the work, what would really be a conscious practice that you could do to help you with this issue between now and the next time? And then, Deborah, at some point, I would love to see you challenge her on this. You know, she said, here's what I wanted to bring up about the challenging. She said, no, I'm really doing great. Everything's great. No problems. All is solved, right? And it may be that sometimes, this is kind of a little sneaky thing I'm going to reveal to you guys, that sometimes I do when I get a lot of that from a client is I'll ask them, so do you feel like our work is done now? Or is there anything more that you know, if you're at session 5 and they have paid for 10 sessions, right? And I think this was this part of your situation with her, Deborah? Yeah, it was, because we talked about that and a little bit, that she paid for all these extra sessions she didn't want to do anymore. So in that situation, it's probably not a good idea to use that approach. But for her, I would say, you know, you've paid for these extra sessions, and I'm curious about whether or not you'd like to go a little deeper.
Yes, yeah. Right.
And if she says, well, what do you mean? Well, I'd be curious about the fact that it was really, you didn't want to be seen by me. That could be something that you could toss
into. I actually did what you recommended.
Uh-huh. Do you want to say what happened? We lost you.
And also, it is 15 minutes, just so you know, the timer went off. So.
Okay. Thank you, Jan. Can we hear you?
Yeah, what happened is that I did. Are you hearing me at all?
You're cutting in and out.
Oh.
But go ahead. Oh, we lost you again.
Okay. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm having a bad connection over here. So are anybody hearing me?
We got you.
Okay. I sent her off the package and I spoke to her. And I sent her a thank you note because I'm not sure if she's coming back. happen after I sent that to her because she wanted to go. So I'm thinking that I might have challenged her a little bit more in the 5th and 6th sessions. So I'm thinking that, you know, we'll see. I told her, I reiterated that she has 6 more sessions with me. So that she paid for, and I'm not sure if she'll come back, but I told her, I says, you have until March. So
great.
I told her. So.
Great.
We'll see.
I think that's great. And you know what?
She was starting to make some breakthroughs, and I'm not sure why she decided to stop.
I mean, I think that's great to tell her that too. You were starting to make some breakthroughs, and I'd love to see you continue. So, and you might be a little bit more specific. You were starting to make some breakthroughs on and ... you know, whatever you would specifically want to fill in the blank about. And I, you know, and then just give her some specifics about how she could productively use the time with you. So that's something you can maybe reflect on too. So let's open it up for a little sharing for Deborah, a little feedback.
Well, I just really like your reflecting, Deborah, and your patience in letting the pauses be there, and really great summary. So I felt like, you know, she has a great opportunity to go further with you. And I think that it would be great if she did that because you have a very nice, comfortable way of being with her. So great job. And thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Deborah, I thought you did an amazing job, and especially since you couldn't see her. And so you spent a lot of time trying to understand the connection between what was happening in her mind, her body, because you couldn't see that. And so I loved how you were, you know, trying to get that out without seeing her. What I also loved was the connection to the goals. There's a reason that she's working with you. And she did not want to seem like she was reluctant to talk about the goals, but you kept putting that right here, the mirror, like, this is why you're here. The goals, the goals, the goals. And I thought that was very effective. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love that you did this on audio for us, actually, so that all of you could see how potent it is just with audio. I mean, you know, I used to do so many of my sessions before Zoom and Skype just on the phone. And there's so much that happens, right? That, and, you know, like you said, Deborah, that beautiful image of what she said about the arms wrapped around, I feel like your arms are wrapped around me. I mean, just beautiful. We're not limited by the energy. It's not limited by time and space. So that's great that so much healing happened just through audio. Anybody else?
I may have misunderstood, but it felt like that there was some history there beyond just this connection.
Thank you.
Student-client situation or a client counseling situation. And you seem to just move straight through that. And it was like, wow. You kind of left all of it in the dust. This is where we are right now. You did your apology for missing that call. But it just felt like there was some insinuation there that there was some other history back there between friendship and whatever. And you just did an excellent job making her feel really comfortable between the two of you. And I may have misread that, but I felt like that was huge.
Good, 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 good. Deborah, anything in closing before we move on to Tony?
Yeah, I never met her before. So this is, I'm always in the present moment with them.
Yeah, you really did a lovely job of doing that. So
I just was in the present moment with her. I never knew her before. Connect with people as much as I can. And I think that my job is a pilot, as a pilot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, as a pilot, I'm always talking with people and connecting with them right away. So
that's good. So you definitely brought that quality in. So the main thing would be just to keep drilling down further into some of those specifics of what's that. Just in after the reflection, what was that like to hear that? How does that feel in your body? You know, just to keep going back to those same three questions. That's good.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Tony, tell us how this was for you.
It was amazing. A little history about Margaret. We have worked together before, primarily life coaching. So I was really surprised when she came to me and said, hey, I want help with my health. Knowing her as I do, I realized that I would have to spend an entire session really getting her to connect with her heart about the goals, because she starts in the head. And by the time we get to the end, if you enjoy the last 10 minutes, you'll see we started getting down to the big why. And I took that time intentionally because I wanted her. She's very externally focused, too. If Dr. Oz says it's right, then I'm going to do it. She's not really in tune with what her body's trying to tell her. I'm supposed to be a certain way at this age. I should have an understanding of my life purpose. All this external stuff. So my job with this first session was to clear away the chatter, the external chatter, and bring her back inside, which is very uncomfortable for her. So we have to take baby steps before we even get into the energetics of what you're feeling. She has to feel.
Can I ask you a question? You said my job for her was to get her to clear away all the external stuff. What was her, was that her goal, or was that your interpretation?
That definitely was my interpretation, knowing her as I do, that when she, the first session is always about her removing the external expectations of what she's supposed to eat and how she's supposed to be, and then finally, you know, get back into, well, this is what I feel I should be. But you're absolutely right. That was my my knowledge of her.
I'm just wondering what was her goal?
At the end, we finally figured it out. She started out saying, I just want to stop eating bad food. So we went through all that. What's bad? You know, how do you know?
Yeah.
All that. Right. And at the end, when I did the summary, I said, let's talk about the goal that you've established and the why. And what does that make you feel? And then mm-hmm. what does that make you feel? And mm-hmm. what does that make you feel? And then finally, we got down to the real reason, which is she wants to be productive mm-hmm. so that she can do with purpose.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So it sounds like you got a little deeper than the bad food, which is nice. Okay. So a couple of things that it seemed to me, and I know Tony and I already talked about this too quite a bit, but that this was sort of a mix of coaching and this sort of process work, both. Mm-hmm. And so as we talked through it, we looked at like, well, where could you bring in more of this transpersonal energy healing process into the mm-hmm. coaching that would be appropriate? And even with what you just said, that your, you know, her statement was, I want to stop eating bad food. And I think she did kind of say that at the beginning too. And then you sort of had an agenda for her. I would love you to turn your agenda into questions around her bad food to make sure that you're not taking her in a direction that is of your making rather than what she wants.
Good point.
So in other words, here's a great example of how we can turn our intuitiveness or our sense of what would be good for our client to them is by taking it and saying, you know, how does bad food affect your health? How do you think you're eating bad food is affecting your health? So then she can answer that question. And then you can ask, well, would you like that to be the goal of our session today?
And I actually did ask her that. It's a long video. And I mean, you'd have to listen to the whole thing. And I don't expect anybody to do that. But she did acknowledge, I said, you know, I did ask her about the bad food and how it feels in her body. And she gave an example. She said, oh, when I eat ice cream, which I consider bad, I have hot flashes.
Right. Yeah, that was a great section. That was terrific.
Yeah.
I did see that part. So, okay, good.
No, but good point, yeah.
Okay.
But it really isn't about the hot flashes. It's about what the flashes are preventing her from doing.
Well, yeah, and I think it's both. It can be both, you know, and I think you included both of those things, which was important. You are addressing them on that physiological level too. Mm-hmm. One of the pieces of feedback I gave to Toni was this initial guided meditation that she did with her. Mm-hmm. I brought up talking about asking her permission or asking her how she would feel about doing this off camera so she could focus in rather than just making that decision for her. Yeah. So the reason that we want as much as possible for the client to state their goals or the client is because it's about empowering the client and it's about letting the client feel that they are in charge, we're helping them know how much wisdom lives in their own body. And of course we draw upon our expertise because you guys know all this stuff about diet and nutrition and supplements, and you want to bring that piece into your work. Absolutely. You don't want to leave that behind. That's also part of it. But we want as much as possible for that internal knowing to come from within them. And if she says, no, I want to be on camera, okay. Or if she says, oh, I don't care, you might want to say, it might be helpful for you, or I'm wondering if you would be willing to try this with me and see what happens, right? And then to ask at the end, so how was that? We just did 10 minutes of guided meditation. How was it for you? And instead of just jumping right into topic, what was it like? How'd that work for you?
I didn't use that language. You're right. I put up, I wish I had. I asked her, how do you feel?
Yeah.
And she said, she exhaled, and that's why I know she's in that sweet spot. She went, good.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe she's in that sweet spot. Mm-hmm. I'd want to know a little bit more about mm-hmm. that. Like,
what does good mean? How's she feeling in her body, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it how was perfect. That? That was 10 minutes for a woman who has a hard time sitting still for 30 seconds.
Yes.
I want to know, was she being the good compliant client by telling you I feel good? Because she mm-hmm. likes you and she wants to make sure you feel good? Or was that really her experience?
She exhibits emerging personality types, so I'm going to say, yeah. Very compliant.
Yeah. And maybe it did work really well for her. Yeah. But,
I wouldn't know unless I asked her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, and maybe next time you can ask her, did you like that opening meditation we did? How was it? Was it too long, too short, just right? Mm-hmm. How should we do it this time?
And let or should her we be not do empowered. It? Let her be empowered and control. I like that.
Yeah. 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 Good.
I did have a second session with her, by the way, and I did use more energetic language, and it confirmed that she's very heart focused. I mean, really heart-focused, but she also is trying to not be heart-focused because of the merging thing, and that, she's not enough and all that. So she was doing a lot of that, and I remember, repeating after her and mirroring her, and she's like, yeah, it feels awful here and right here. So your work is helping me a lot, the information that you've given me. I was able to apply that to the second session, which is when the real work happened, once she really understood what her goals were and the why.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you so much. I mean, yeah, really helpful.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, it's just going to drop them in even deeper. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So, and again, just summarizing, just trust this. You did do some nice summarizing. And again, what was it like to hear that summary? What was it like? Something personal you want to work on, good ideas about how to go about them without fear. Oh, yeah, she said, I have these goals and ideas, and I want to go about them without fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that really jumped out at me, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's where we could tell me about the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Or what would it be like to go about them without fear? What would happen? And where do you feel the fear in your body when you when you talk about fear?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good, beautiful compassion. I mean, you just show so much lovely, lovely compassion, lovely being in the soup with somebody, really strong in connection with your client. Just really, really nice. Good asking her to choose between food and apprehension and you laughed when you said, I wait about 10 minutes in the peanut butter. And she laughed. And again, there was another paradox here. Beautiful, that whole segment about the hot flashes and how you worked with that. Really, really nice as far as, repeating it back. And then just again, letting her see her own conclusion. So when you eat sweets, you have hot flashes, no judgment, no nothing. I did fasting for 21 days and 41 days in coffee, repeating coffee. And I pointed out to Tony also this thing that I brought up with Janet last week was instead of a why do you think you stayed committed to those 41 days? What was it like to stay committed to those 41 days, right? So we want to go instead of why questions to what questions. What was that like to stay committed for those 41 days? What happened? I have to stop risking. A little bit of your own leading questions that came in a couple of times, but not bad. And I love how you switched into teaching mode. So you did a nice shift into teaching mode of feelings drive the choices. After you help her, that would have come even stronger if you had helped her connect more to her feelings first, mm-hmm. and then reflected that back, and then then go into education. Feelings drive our choices. So, so we want to, there are times when it's absolutely appropriate to go into teaching mode. What does feeling good do to you or do for you? Tell me more about feeling good. At one point she said, my body feels like,
Yeah.
And those kinds of comments are nice to reflect back to. So, okay. So really nice work, Tony. Let's open this up for some feedback for you or questions or comments.
She's my favorite client, by the way. One of my favorites.
She was a pistol. I liked her. I mean, yeah. Just so full of energy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Tony, what I really liked is how comfortable she was with you mm-hmm. and how open she was to be able to admit, I want to stop eating these bad foods. And I know you'll get even more into it over time. So it was a really good clarification for both of you for her to be able to admit that, and how it made her feel physically. And so, great job with the questioning. I really loved hearing your questioning and your reflecting back. So great job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Tony, I really, really, really enjoyed, I listened to the whole thing.
Oh my.
But I did. I turned it on and I was doing a little food prep. But I really appreciated that you had such an easy way, like Laura had just said, about moving in and out of the health coaching part and then back into the process that we're doing. Because I had my last session with my client, he wanted to talk about that, and I didn't know how to integrate that very easily. And I lost her a couple of times because I didn't have the skill. Listening to you do that, that's why I listened to the whole thing. Now I have a better idea of how to get out the words and the pieces to direct the conversation. So great. I really learned a lot from listening to that. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you got something from that. Awesome. And you'll do it your way and you'll be fine.
So, just to point something out that might be helpful for the people who are, everything is the positive and every life is beautiful and rosy and there's no problems anywhere. When those little keywords slip out, like when she said, I have some fear or some apprehensions, that's where we want to hone in on that to kind of bring that balance, right, of those two paradoxes, right? So tell me more about the fear. You just said, sometimes you feel a little apprehension, but tell me about the apprehension. the opposite is true for the person. I have got this client right now who is like so despairing and so negative and so, I mean, like he is so in a double bind, right? That whenever there's a glimmer of anything positive, I'll highlight that. Wow, you know, you just smiled when you said that. What'd that feel like to smile while all this pain is going on? Well, it felt all right. Oh, okay. So you had a moment of all right. And so, and then like, and then I'll laugh at him and I go, oh, you know, so maybe there is a little bit of you that can hold both of these things together, right? Maybe there's a little glimmer of all rightness, even in this despair. Yeah, but I want it to happen faster. I was like, whoa, smack, smack, smack. You're going to take that away too? But I'll just joke with him and I'll laugh, right? So the heavier he goes, kind of the lighter I try to go to balance that a bit,
like
to pull it forward. And then the opposite, the more fluffy we are and superficial we are, the more I've got to go deep and challenging.
Yeah. I have to tell you, Laura, that what you've taught me and what I've learned so far, because there was a little apprehension on my part, like I want to be my authentic self, and yet I want to incorporate these great skills. And I said, I have to do it when I feel it's appropriate. And you have helped me to figure out, you know, with her, I said, she's got to know what her goals are first before we even start digging into all that. But now I know how to go deeper with the fear part and the apprehension and all that. Margaret is a speed dater. That's what she wants to go straight to feeling good, you know,
yeah.
The orgasm. And, you know, no, we need some foreplay first. I'm sorry. So now that as I did, now that I, you know, have this information, this feedback, which has been so valuable, I feel like I can really, really help her make a difference.
I'm so glad. And for the person who comes to you who doesn't know their goals at all, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to like push them into, well, let's just see what comes up then.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about, you know, a challenge in your life or in your relationships or whatever. So not everybody's going to be that kind of linear thinker, right? So some people have to, you know, and I learned that, you know, just the same way you guys are, because I learned that from my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, I was talking, and I said, I'm all over the map. I don't know where to, and she said, it's okay. It doesn't have to be linear. And I went, ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Oh, it doesn't? Wow. How great is that? I can grab over here and then grab over there and grab over here and grab over there and just unwind, let myself unwind. And then what's in there, what's stuffed in there that I'm trying to grab a hold of that I'm trying to grope my way in the dark for will come forward if I have the space in the room to grope around for a while.
Or even her heart work. That's what I gave her for heart work. She just had to drill down herself. In the second session, she was able to.
Good.
Yeah, because she needed time just alone with the document I gave her. But yeah, you're absolutely, thank you for that, because I do have a client who is not quite sure. So
yeah, good, good, good. And also, you know, ask her too, what would help you? What kind of heart work would I have some ideas for you, but I want to hear from you first.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Because it's not that you want to necessarily not give the things that you know that will be helpful for people. So but good.
I want to stay empowered. Keep her empowered. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
yeah, super yeah.
excited about this process. I just can't tell you. I get all tingly when I think about it.
Good,
possibilities. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. You guys are just going to rock the house with this. So questions now. Let's just open it up for cases or feedback or questions. Anything on that's going on in your own cases or your own progress or things that are showing up for you, challenges. Louisa.
Yes. I did my first session and we had technical difficulties, so I wasn't able to record it. So I said, well, I have to go ahead and do it anyway. So I did the result, but I felt while I was doing it, I really felt overwhelmed because this lady, like right now, you just answered my question. Things don't have to be linear. She was all over the place when on the intake, she says she wants to, her goal was to eat healthier. When we got started, that didn't even come up. She was all over the place about the death of her coworker, then to the problems with her family. And I was going like, I was going to suggest, you know, I really know a good therapist for you. But because, and then now I feel like, and I'm glad maybe that was not the meeting to record, because I think we went 2 hours because she was all over the place and I had to kind of, okay, summarize and let's stop and we'll pick up in the next session. But I have to say, I was saying like, maybe this is not for me. this is a little too much or too deep. But the most, something that made me feel good at the end was that when she left, because we did it in person, she says, oh, this feels so good. And I'm going like, oh my gosh, I wish I could say I felt so good. Then I told my husband, I don't know that I'm
okay, let me address a couple of things that you're bringing up, and I'm glad you're bringing these up because they happen to everybody, all the things that you're naming, all of you. So first of all, it's really important that you stay on your time. And if somebody is really very verbal, extremely verbal, which it sounds like she was, then it can be really helpful to remind them that, you know, we've only got X number of minutes left, like we're at our halfway point, blah, blah, blah. But I want to give you another technique, another little tool that I've learned, that when somebody is all over the map in the beginning, you must interrupt them. Remember, if they're very verbal, you must interrupt them and say, okay, I've heard three things so far. You talked about this death of your coworker. You talked about your food. You talked about whatever the other one was. I don't remember now that you said. You talked about these. I've heard three things. I want to make sure I'm tracking you. I've heard these three things so far that are on the plate that sound really important. Of those three, or of those five, or whatever they are, what one feels like the most potent or the most important that we should start with today? And then you have them pick one, and then you stay on target with one, because then their time is going to be more succinct, your time is going to be more succinct, they're focused, you're focused, and if they start to deviate off into the, you know, the other topic, you bring them back. Well, let's stay with this one first for a little bit longer, okay? And then, so you have to be in control of the session and in control of the time. That's really important for you.
Okay?
And you're going to enjoy it more that way too, and not feel like your time is, or not feel drained. You know, yeah, they feel good. They got to dump all over the place, right? Yeah. But if you're not reflecting back, you're not going to take them into any place that's really deep or necessarily productive. We always feel better after a good dump, right? Literally and figuratively. But does it really help us to break pattern? Not necessarily. Okay. So that's why reflecting back is also really important. But that's a little technique that you can use when somebody's all over the map and doesn't know where to start. Let them talk for a little bit, reflect it back, pick one. What's the most potent of what you named so far where we should start? Okay, really simple, easy to use. Okay. Steph, you put in another question here I just noticed. So we are also building experiences in emotional self-reflection and self-efficacy. Yes. Yes, by reflecting back their emotion, even if there's just a little glimmer of an emotion, when you reflect it back, it helps them to get more connected to it, to go deeper. thoughts are just like this, right? Blah, 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 blah. Our mind is chattering all the time. But to drop into emotion, that takes a minute, right? That's a different element. That's the water element. This is electric. This is fire, the mind. This is fast, fast, fast. This is slower for most people. So we need time to help them drop down and find what it is that they're feeling and reflect that back. That's why if you feel rushed to come up with a new question, it's because we are too in our intellect when we're doing that ourselves. We have to drop down deeper. So pausing with them, taking a breath with them, that helps both them and you as the practitioner. Am I addressing what you needed there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, what else is going on? Case questions. Yeah, Tony.
Unless if someone else wants to go first, because I've had the platform for a while, the stage, anybody else need to go ahead of me? Okay. All right. So I recently, this week, had the pleasure and the terror of being reintroduced to a client that I did business coaching with. And I thought she wanted to, further that relationship of business coaching. And the first thing I heard was, my marriage is falling apart. My husband's leaving me. That's why I contacted you. I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do with that information? And I pretty much let her talk for a solid hour. And I did have those moments of where, if I knew then what I know now, when she started crying, and where is that coming from? And what are you feeling right now? Where is it in your body? I think the session would have been more helpful for her, but yet in spite of that, she still wants to work with me. But my first instinct was like Louisa said, hey, I got a therapist for you. But based on what I've heard here and all the sharing, I'm going to take her on with so much confidence, and I'm going to report back to all of you. Without disclosing names or anything, how that process worked for me, moving myself past the fear and the ego.
Yeah, good. Good. And if it comes to a point where she does need to be referred out, you'll do that. But I love that you want to jump in with her. She reached out to you for a reason, right? And this is true for all of you. Your clients reached out to you for a reason. There's something you have that they see, that they want, that they need, that's valuable for them. And if they didn't see that, they wouldn't have gone for a second session. They wouldn't have wanted a second session. So there's something that you have that's of value to them. So great. Yeah. What else? So there was another question in the chat here from Jill. My client wants a family session, which is scheduled for Tuesday. I'm planning on using this. Have you used it in a group? Well, I'm not sure what you mean by use it in a group. I'm using it in a group right now. So tell me what you mean.
Well, first of all, she was very impressed with the reflecting process, and her family, not just her, wants to work with me on the subject of communication because they're all having trouble communicating. And so I have some ideas of how I'm going to work with this. But I just was curious as if you had worked, I guess going back and forth, or maybe like we did at the last conference when we were all together, you have used the technique of reflecting.
You know, it's interesting. Yes. I've done a lot of work with couples more than I have with groups as far as like communication dynamics or issues. Like, how many in the family, how many family members are you?
So the husband and two adult sons are coming.
Wow.
With her. And okay. They have all had a diagnosis of autistic spectrum Asperger's.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Okay. That's
that kind of gives an idea of why they are having communication issues.
Yeah. Well, that makes a whole different kind of response from my part then, because I don't know what their level of capacity is. But, I mean, really, the just off the top of my head, the first thing I would say is if you can just teach people to repeat back what they hear, that's huge right there. Just even that. If they have that capacity in their autism, I don't know what that is going to look like for them.
Yeah, it's not like real severe in any of them. I would say they're all high functioning, you know.
Okay. So there may be a lot of feeling disconnection then with autism, where they don't feel feelings. And if that's the case, then for those who do, it's going to be really important for them to express that I'm having this feeling when you do blah, blah, blah. That won't mean anything necessarily to a person who's autistic, because it's like saying, you know, you've just spoken to them in Greek for a few minutes and they're like, okay, I heard the Greek, but I didn't understand what it meant.
Yeah.
So boy, that's a, that,
And then I guess the other question was, is she wanted to know if it could count for one of our sessions, and you know, that would be your call.
Well, this is interesting. So this is the same woman that was.
Yes, the same woman.
You know, this could be a little sticky, Barbara, because that's a dual relationship that you would be having with her. To then do family counseling with her, what I would suggest that you do is do your 6 sessions with her first and then see if she still wants to do the family session.
I think she wants to move forward because they're saying yes right now.
They're saying yes, yeah.
They're saying yes, and I think, yeah.
Then what I would encourage you to do is to talk about with her at least beforehand for a few minutes over the phone that this is going to create a dual relationship for you and her, that there may be times where she feels that this is the tricky part of doing this, is that she might feel like you're against her if you respond in a supportive way to one of her family members, and she feels like it could jeopardize your relationship with her. I don't want to say jeopardize, it's too strong a word, but it could challenge your relationship with her. She's going to need to know that you may have to challenge her in some ways that could feel uncomfortable for her. And does she really want to do that? Because you, the two of you, have a pretty invested relationship, it sounds like. So I would just make sure that she's in agreement with that, and that you may have to work out with her afterwards. And I would also make sure that you tell her that you're trying this out as an experiment to see if it's appropriate for you, if it's within your scope of practice. Mm-hmm. To do this session with her.
Okay.
Okay, so those are some boundary things that are, you know, and dual relationship issues that are could come up by doing that. And so just make sure that she knows that it may challenge your relationship with her or make it a little uncomfortable for her in some ways. Okay. How's that landing for you?
Yeah, I think that's good, because I hadn't thought about the potential challenge that she may feel as I go about doing this group thing. I mean, she is all in favor of it. She's wanting it, and evidently the rest of the family is as well. I have worked with actually all three of the men.
Oh. At least
once.
Oh, you have. Oh, that's good. So they've know you. Yeah. They've met you.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. So that's good. I think that's actually really good, because that means that they're in agreement. They're already in agreement with coming to work with you. They know you. There's some rapport there.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
So.
Okay. Good. Well, let us know how that goes.
That's what I was going to ask. Does she mind sharing, you know, how things go so we can all learn?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I have some ideas of how I want it to work, and we'll just see how it goes, but I will let you all know.
Yeah. Okay. Other questions? We got about 10 more minutes. How are you doing, Lynn Rose? I wanted to ask you how did you do after your did you do a second session after the first one?
Yeah, we've done our three sessions.
Oh, three sessions. Okay, so how is that going? Are you feeling like you're able to apply anymore?
Well, she's done a lot of work before, so she's, you know, just didn't really come up with things that she wanted to go into. We did do. I gave her some homework that might bring up something for us to work with a little better. Mm-hmm. And it's, she was not really doing well about journaling, but we kind of made a suggestion to just write a little short story about herself as a little child and what it would look like to get that acknowledgement that she didn't get. Mm-hmm. And she was just real excited about doing that. So what might come up from that. So, and it might give us some food for thought there.
Nice. Yeah. I think that with this client that you have, for her, she's so in her head. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is so in her head that any little movement toward, any glimmer toward emotion is going to be very delicate for her. And I would... It looks to me like she's a rigid pattern person. Would you say that that's the case? Because
did a lot of this kind of work back in the 70s too. She did a lot of EST and, you know, transformational work too. So she's done exploration before, but she can't find charges. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
events, she hasn't really felt charges with it.
You know, I think she's pretty cut off from those charges.
Yeah.
You know, because she's clearly there were topics in her life that she was talking about currently that are painful for her.
Right.
I don't remember now what they were, but I remember in that session there were some hot topics for her.
Well, and she was painful at the time, but she doesn't seem to hold a charge with it anymore. She was just reaching for events in her life that were an event. So,
well, you know, even that's interesting feedback for her. Like, it's interesting how, and when you use the word charge, it doesn't necessarily have to be negative, because charge is also our life force, right?
Emotion.
Yeah. So emotion. So does she want to be more in touch with her emotional life?
Yeah. And she did say that, you know, while she was doing, because we were talking about the voice and singing, and she said doing the singing did bring up emotion for her. So,
good.
I really enjoy doing that. So,
good. So that might be also a jumping off place. Tell me more about what happens to you when you're singing.
Right.
And as you talk to me now about your singing, what are you noticing even talking about your singing? No, I'm fine. Nothing much really. Okay. Well, let's just hang out here in the, how do you notice nothing much? How do you notice that?
Right.
Like keep, everything she says is something. Mm-hmm. Everything, even if it seems like it's nothing. Now, granted, I want to tell you, you got a challenging case. She's challenging. She's not like Terry, who was so lovely for Jill, like, bam, bring me to my emotion. I'm right there, right? Not a lot of people have that ability to do that.
Well, she's a mirror image with me, too, so...
Yeah, so you've got that double challenge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would encourage you to keep doing that work too for yourself.
Like, well, she's like going in, and she feels like she's getting a lot out of it and getting a lot of tools to work with. And so, you know, I'm
good.
Not too hard. So, but
yeah,
I think we'll get there.
Look, even just listening and reflecting is powerful for people. So, all right. Good. Thank you, Lynn, for sharing that. Anybody else? Case questions. Now's your chance.
Can I squeeze in one more question?
Sure.
Okay. I have a client who's resistant to journaling. Anybody experience that?
Draw pictures.
Oh, good idea. I love that.
And if they say, I can't draw, draw with your non-dominant hand. I don't want pretty pictures.
Hmm.
Draw with your non-dominant hand. Draw feelings. Do scribbles. Do scribble feelings.
Good idea. Thank you.
I have those clients keep drawing journals. Every day, draw a picture, even if it's a scribble, with crayons, with your non-dominant hand, and put a title to it and the date. And don't take more than 60 seconds to do it. And then show me your pictures. Then we look at the whole week of pictures. They get a lot out of that. It's a really fun thing to do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else before we, let's just do some closing remarks then. So let's start with Valerie. We ended with you. Valerie, any closing comments from you? I guess we still can't hear you, huh? Okay, Chris. I don't know if she's with us because she's... Okay. Janet, closing remarks.
It all becomes more valuable as I start to work with clients and listen to everyone else with their clients. Everything that you talked about was nice. And now that we are doing it and I am doing this with someone, it's incredible and it's powerful. And sometimes it gets a little scary, but it's amazing work. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate it. The whole process is starting to come together and it's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, good. You're welcome. Linda Buer.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, there's affirmations and validations for some of the things that I'm doing. There's that continued growth of just really getting into just being, just sitting with them, that I don't have to talk. I don't have to be a talking head. And that, again, just reaffirming, they have the answers within them.
Yeah. Oh, good. Thank you. Deborah.
I learned so much from all of you here. I just really am so pleased with just the difference in the way that I'm coming across, and even that listening, I'm still like amazed that, you know, as you do more and more and have this wider space, you know, but you're in there, but you also have that space. So I really appreciate that and those three questions. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Deborah. Louisa.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this has been more clarification today. I thought I was doing something wrong, and that was my rigid pattern coming out when I got into the teaching mode without me knowing that that's what I was in. So today I realized that that is okay. And so I did the teaching mode, and that it is okay that they're all over the place. So now I feel like I have learned a way to center. And as you were saying that, one emotion came to my mind, that every single thing she was saying, it was funneling to, and it was depression.
Mm.
So now I know what to work on. We're having our next session tomorrow.
Oh, perfect. So, great. Let us know how it goes. Good.
So
thanks, Louisa. Okay, Steph.
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you. Like, I learned so much today from all just the way that each of you is saying things, like something that you said, everything she says is something. Mm-hmm. It's just really underscoring the need for space and listening and space. I learned so much today. I need to go like write it down or something. Re-listen to this. Yeah. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Kimberly.
So I've been kind of reflecting back to my client sessions over the last few months, and what strikes me is how much more efficient I am, I think, in my sessions than I used to be. And it feels so amazing to me to watch how quickly transformation can happen with these tools. My time is better served that way. My clients' time is better served that way. And it's just so fun to be more efficient, have better boundaries, and yet have amazing transformation happening.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Thank you. Michelle.
Okay. So yeah, just enjoyed hearing everyone's thoughts. I agree with Steph. I just learned so much by hearing everyone's perspective. And then I guess some of my takeaways are just reflecting on the what and the space, the silence and the what.
That's yeah. It. Good. Thanks. Lynn Rose.
Well, it's an ongoing process. I'm the most worst critic for myself, so it helps that to hear everybody else's challenges. So I thank y'all for that.
Yeah, and you know, I want to encourage you to keep getting support for yourself. Especially when you know, and it's inevitable. We always get the client that is us. if it doesn't happen this time, it'll happen the next time. They're going to find their way to you. So thank you.
I found that in my regular practice too. I get my clients.
It's true. They keep showing us where our work is. You know. Jill.
I love this session, and I feel like I talked a lot in this session. So thank you everybody for all that you've contributed to me, because I've really loved this class, and I always take notes in it, and it, that everything said is something really, really stuck out to me, and also that things don't have to be linear. That was really good for my rigid pattern. So great session. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You know, I've really learned that in a session, when somebody puts their money down, that's money's energy, right? That's all it is energy. They put their energy down, right, to make this session time with you. They put it in their calendar. They look forward to it. They're thinking about it. They walk in the door, or they turn on their Zoom or whatever it is, and there's already a charge there. It's already loaded. The psyche is already prepped. There's no word that comes out of anybody's mouth that is by accident. I have really feel that. So the subconscious is in full swing. It really wants to come to the surface. Nothing is by accident. So reflecting back is really potent. So thanks for that. Yeah, Jan.
Yeah, I really loved what you just said, because it was so comforting. And I think you're right. I think that nothing does happen by accident. They're drawn to us for a reason. The person I'm working with right now is me. I mean, it's not me, but it could be me. So I've had so many takeaways from this and last time. I'm just excited for my next session. We've had four, and we're ready for our fifth. So
great. Great. Thanks, Jan. Tony.
Well, I'm super excited to now know that I can have my strength intuitiveness without sacrificing the empowerment of my client getting there. Just because I know where the door is doesn't mean I have to take them by the hand. I can just shine the flashlight. So thank you.
Yeah, good. Good. Chris, are you back or no? I guess not. So we will miss her closing comments and Valerie's. But thank you all for wonderful work today. It's just, I'm having a great time, and I just love seeing your progress. And I will see you all in a couple, well, I'll see you at Shine, many of you, next weekend. And if not, I'll see you in 2 weeks. So have a wonderful rest of your weekend, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.